If you want to get your favorite technical news, give the Gizmo Gang a call. Gizmo Sapiens.
Hey, and welcome to Gizmo Sapiens Show 146, titled The Corona Technology. I'm Chris, and actually with me today are my dogs, Ravel and Buckeye. We're all holed up in the compound, socially distancing ourselves from everybody, including my co-hosts Matt and Sean, and sometimes my son Thomas. And we haven't done a show, actually, since the beginning of March, and today is the last day, and we're actually approaching the last hour of the last day of April. It's just been kind of crazy getting through stuff, getting things done. The weather's been pretty nice, so I've been spending a lot of time outside, which means I'm not recording. But there were a few things that happened this month that I kind of wanted to go through. You know, Apple released a couple things. They released a new MacBook Air for 2020. With Core i3 through Core i7 processor options, good amount of RAM, couple Thunderbolt 3 ports, pretty much was the death knell of the MacBook, 12-inch MacBook, which was the last produced in 2017, which was a great laptop. I actually own one, and I use it for various tasks. Although I do think a 13.3 is a much more usable desktop size in the sense of being able to see documents and particularly spreadsheets. You don't have to scroll so much. and that's actually what I'm going to, since 2017 was the last year that they made the MacBooks, well, that they updated the MacBooks, 2020 MacBook Air, maybe in my future to replace that as my ultra portable, because sometimes lugging around a 15-inch MacBook Pro or 16-inch MacBook Pro is more than you want to do. Although I love my big MacBook Pro. Apple also released a new iPhone SE, which is frankly an iPhone 11 and an iPhone 8 enclosure. It's very impressive. It's obviously what they did was they wanted something that was a form factor that people, that was different than the previous form factor. Also, they probably couldn't get the small screens anymore. But also something that would, for the foreseeable future, for the next 2 or 3 years, have enough horsepower to still comfortably run everything that they're going to add into iOS. So check them out. www.apple.com. They're kind of neat stuff. There's some other interesting things on the Apple side of things. One is in one of the beta builds, there is evidence that Apple is testing AMD Ryzen chips, which kind of makes sense in their MacBook Pro or MacBook and iMac and MacBook Pro lines. Mainly because I think it's a couple things. It's a smart idea business-wise because if they could offer options like Dell and HP and other PC vendors that compete with Intel, they can potentially get better pricing for their products. Apple also already has a relationship with AMD. They exclusively use AMD GPUs in their MacBook Pros and in their Mac Pros and things like that, and it's as deep a relationship as the relationship they have with Intel. I mean, they're probably even deeper because with AMD, they're actually building, you know, Radeon, Vega, you know, Navi video cards specifically for Mac products. And if it's a way to make, you know, the lower end, the consumer model, Mac Minis and iMacs and MacBooks available with good performance, I think it's a good idea. And some recent performance metrics have come out that have suggested, well, more than suggested, have proven that the Ryzen in a gigahertz processor level comparison run with less power and run faster. So that's another thing Apple has to take to effect. Or take into account, I should say, not effect. The other thing that's kind of interesting is there's rumor that the 12-inch MacBook is not gone. It might not be 12 inches. We don't know. But that there is a macOS ARM MacBook that Apple's using their own chip designs for 2021. I don't discount it because Microsoft with the Surface Pro X is an ARM-based tablet laptop thing, but I think it's something Apple has been looking into for a long time. Back a long time ago, they purchased a chip company, and that's where all their chips that go into the Apple TVs and your iPhone and the iPads come from are from designs from that company that are now integrated into Apple. So having a macOS ultra high efficient laptop running that makes sense. But on the flip side of it too, there's application support. That's the biggest issue with the Surface Pro X. There's hardly anything that runs on it, even in the Microsoft App Store. Now, I think Apple probably has 10 million other... If you look at what they've been doing, where it doesn't take much to take an iPad app and run it on macOS, it's very likely that they already have an app ecosystem that could support a lot better... variety of applications and use cases on that low end. And in the consumer level low end and things that kids would take to school, you wouldn't need a whole bunch of SSD space, 6,428, 256 max. And those things are typically for homework type things. So, as long as Safari works, as long as iWork works, or Pages, Numbers, and Keynote work, and Mail app, and all the things that are built into Mac OS X, and then the variety of iPad OS apps that potentially could be added to the Mac App Store for an ARM-based laptop. I think Apple might be already ahead of the game, at least farther ahead than Microsoft, because even on iOS, there is an ARM-based version of Photoshop, although it's not the full version of Photoshop that you would get on a full Mac or even a full PC. So, just some things going on technology-wise. Let's see what else. There's a rumor that Apple's going to introduce over-the-ear headphones with replaceable parts this year. We'll see how that goes. They own Beats. At some point, Beats is a brand, and the fact that Apple's AirPods are so good that Beats become superfluous. I mean, there's already wireless Beats headphones, but they're not really integrated into iOS, macOS, iPadOS like the AirPods are. If they could do that, and maybe Beats goes away. I mean, again, they bought them for the technology, not necessarily for the marketing. let's see what else is out there. They released macOS 10.15.4, watchOS 6.2. something, because it was the other day, and iOS, iPadOS, and tvOS 13.4 plus a couple of point updates. Let's see what else is in there. A lot of this, Apple would have had a March event, but we never, because of social distancing, it was canceled. So, the other thing that's going on is that, we have another slew of unfixable, vulnerable data attacks. If somebody can physically, they make this sound so bad. One, you have to have physical access to the machine. You have to have this incredibly sophisticated rig and clean conditions so that you can, you know, tap into the pins or get access to the memory on the on-chip die cache memory in these chips. But there are some inflexible flaws, evidently, in all in Intel chips and all AMD chips. So take that with a grain of salt. You know, we went through that process, and then, and you know, the only people who, you at home as a consumer, I wouldn't, you never, unless you're a billionaire or you're in a high technology company where you have personal or you have technological documents that might relate to patents or things like that, that people would know about, for one thing. You know, and it would have to be something super special, because it would take a lot of effort to get that data. You don't have anything to worry about. Government agencies, you know, espionage, that type of thing. But even then, it requires physical access, and the data that really counts, it would be almost impossible to get physical access. So that's kind of, as a matter of fact, this is how used to every, or how everybody has gotten used to these type of vulnerabilities in the tech industry. Yeah, there were a couple of articles on it, but it was like, this is what happened for a day. So, you know, it was not a super talked about item. So this show will actually be kind of short, because I just wanted to get something out there. You know, I hope everybody is staying safe, and that none of our listeners are unfortunately would be inflicted with COVID-19. This has certainly been a test, since if you can work from home, a lot of people are working from home and they're used to going to an office. I've worked from home for 16 or 17 years now, so this is not a real big change for me. Actually, the best part of it is there's so much fewer traffic on the roads around my farm that it's quieter and it's been more enjoyable. And you know, to go in stores has tipped, although it's been hard to find certain items. I still don't understand the toilet paper hoarding, although around here it's been, we only suffered for a couple of weeks of that, but I have not seen a cleaning wipe, a disinfectant cleaning wipe. I have not seen hand sanitizers, nor have I seen rubbing alcohol in any of the grocery stores around us, probably in the last 6 weeks. So that being said, you know, where is that going? I imagine a lot of the capacity for production is being sent to, you know, hospitals and medical facilities that are treating COVID-19 patients. And so consumers aren't allowed to buy it, but it's kind of an oxymoron when all the states are putting all this stress on, you know, washing your hands and using hand sanitizer or wearing masks, and yet they can't get access to them. It's kind of a, not only is it a humorous from, you know, the government telling you to do something that's impossible to do, but also it's kind of weird from a supply chain standpoint, when my understanding was that we should be able to, you know, and I think that that's one of the things that's kind of shocking is these companies who charge so much for all these things, they obviously can't handle any increase in demand, or we would still have this stuff on the shelves. So stay safe. We want to hear from you, our listeners. So please visit our website at www.gizmosapiens.com, or send us a video, voice, or text mail to gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. And we'll see you on the digital flip side.
Listening to Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the Digital Flip Side.